I'm Elliot Glazer.
I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
We're here. We're queer.
Meh.
Textual healing.
So Netflix is introducing another one of their trashy reality dating shows. Have you guys watched Love is Blind? Did you ever watch that like at the peak of the beginning of COVID?
No.
Yeah, I did. I did watch
not.
It. It was like, I have no interest in like dating reality shows. Never have. Don't care about Bachelor. Just doesn't interest me in the least. But Love is Blind was interesting in that the conceit was fascinating about people who like fall in love without seeing each other at first.
There's the famous, like my family loves Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah, Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, sure. Well, that's probably touching.
That's more touching. Yeah. But when I first heard
Love
on the Spectrum.
And that's why I won't watch it. I just don't want to cry during dinner. You know?
Yeah, like, you don't want to. Sometimes I know there are times where like I'm watching something and I'm like, I need to turn this off because it's emotional and I need to like step away because I don't want to have this moment. But with Love is Blind, I literally thought, oh, that's nice. Like average looking people, like normal looking people get to do a dating show, which you don't usually see all that often. And then you watch it and you're like, wait, everyone's hot.
Of course. Yeah, that's how everything works.
To me, Love is Blind should, like, blind means like, okay, well, normal people fall in, like, that would be nice to see. I would like to see that. But no, it's just really, really attractive people who would normally fall for each other anyway.
Yeah. Hollywood is all about, Hollywood continues to be pushing aggressively diversity in every sphere of society except for
attractiveness.
Yeah. Except for attractiveness.
Yeah.
They still will not put, in particular, women.
Yeah.
When it's the wild double standard for women, even in like comedies.
Or if it's
like,
queer, someone who's fatter or someone who is or disabled or someone who is like, there are so many other types that they just won't include because it has to be often white, muscle, male.
Yeah. Anyway, Elliot, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So Netflix has, there haven't been that many like forays into queer reality dating shows just because it is, you know, a different.
A deep
animal,
cut.
So to speak.
Prince Charming on logo.
Prince Charming was like probably a nightmare or finding right. There was one where there used to be one called like Playing It Straight, I believe. Or there was a whole podcast about how there was a trans woman on a dating show, and the whole idea was essentially that she had a secret. It was an English reality show that was obviously a full blown disaster. But anyway, so there's not very often these reality shows about queer people per se, but Netflix is now making a new one, and it's actually the production company behind Love is Blind. So the show is called The Ultimatum, and it follows six couples that are on the verge of marriage. But while one partner wants to hurry up and tie the knot, the other one is hesitant. So what they do is they allow them to choose another partner that they think has qualities of someone they would want to potentially marry and can get the opportunity to live out a trial marriage with that person. So another person completely. So they have two trial marriages, like their partner who they're about to marry and then somebody else. And the producers
it's
have
actually
confirmed.
Oddly tortured. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. And the producers confirmed this show's second season now is planned to be mostly all queer and mostly female.
Do you win money too?
I doubt it. If you don't
marry the other person, you get
marriage
money.
Isn't worth like going through all that trouble wouldn't be worth it just for marriage.
Or, I know,
like,
I couldn't
just for confirmation. You know what I mean? Like that just seems like
it's also a surprisingly contrived premise because I feel like most marriages, there's like a moment where someone is a little bit more into being married or becoming engaged. Like cold feet's a real thing. Like for
it's
all
emotions and
sorts of people. So it's like this kind of like that. I'm actually surprised. I didn't read up on this because I wanted to be surprised live on the pod. But I'm surprised. That seems like just dull and silly, kind of.
Yeah, I am too. But I'm not surprised that the mostly queer people on the show are women. To me, I'm just like, yes, that makes sense. Like, I think you know, across the board, gay women tend to be more relationship focused than gay men.
Yeah,
isn't it? Whoa, that was two. You usually do three sneezes.
I do.
Prince of Three Sneeze guy. That was wow.
I am.
A wild two. But yeah, no, I'm I guess I'm not surprised. I feel like even with like the most domestically centered, you know, relationship focused of gay guys, it just, I don't know. I just feel like.
Well, it seems like a stunt. I feel like gay guys would do it just for the TV time to say they've been on Netflix. Like it's like, it wouldn't necessarily be, but then again, I also think the women are the same.
They all are. Yeah.
If you're on a dating show, you are doing it to get on whatever platform it's on.
Did you guys ever watch Wife Swap?
Yes, I loved Wife Swap.
Did you?
Oh my God.
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah. Do you remember? I mean, the by far the most viral clip from Wife Swap was the prayer warrior.
Yeah.
The woman who came back.
She's not a Christian. She's not a Christian.
She could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering in dark side and stuff. Yes, yes, she did. The entire house is dark-sided.
She said her whole house is...
She is dark-sided too!
Did you know, every like year or two, I do a deep dive and I look for that video and I watch it. And did you know that she's become something of like a gay icon?
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Matt Stapera from BuzzFeed, my sister, one of my sister's good friends, loves her, worships that woman.
Yeah.
And kind of became, but she also, she changed. She didn't, she's not as... like a crazy far right Christian like person anymore, and she became sort of a supporter of gay rights.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I read an article specifically like down in Louisiana. So, you know, her daughter unfortunately died in a car accident. Yeah. And it sounds like the gay community like reached out in droves after that happened to her. And I think it sort of softened. I don't know if she was anti-gay rights before. I guess I would guess a conservative person in Louisiana probably was. And I don't know what her stance is now, but she's, you know, they talked about interviewing her and she had just gone to Pride or something. Or so certainly she's an open mind, much more open minded than you probably would expect from that clip from 15 years ago now.
That's wild.
I'm wondering too. I'm also just curious, like, aside from already having, you know, public personas, so to speak, if you weren't, you know, pursuing public stuff, would you ever consider going on a reality dating show like this one or any other?
Well, I will say, and when I lived in New York, and the UCB, the other one, help me.
Groundlings?
Comics.
Second City?
No, the other improv place. The Pit. Thank you, The Pit. People's Improv Theater. They had every Valentine's Day a dating game show. And I have the pitiful record. of winning the dating game show 3 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Years
in a row. They kept bringing me back because I was funny and still single.
Yeah.
And so won it 3 years in a row. And it just became really sad. But no, I would never do that.
I would never. Because there's so, I mean, for the exact purpose. For the exact purpose that they are so silly and contrived. Like, it's not like I'm actually, you know, I'm not actually going to meet my soulmate or whatever. It just seems... You know, like I wouldn't want to be on Next, you know, on MTV. Would you do it, Elliot?
Fuck no, I would never do it. And
not even for the joke. I mean, you posed in a Jewish cemetery ad for a joke.
That's right.
That wasn't that. Well, that's a real brochure or whatever. That's real materials.
Which we cannot wait to post on our Instagram. By the way,
cannot wait to see that.
We are so excited to see Elliot's photo shoot from the LGBT-centered Jewish cemetery
him. Please use these photos in all of your dating profiles. All of them.
It's not LGBT-centered. It's just a Jewish like resting place, and they wanted a bevy of different.
And you know what? I support that. I support it.
No, I genuinely couldn't imagine going on them. I don't understand. We've talked to people on this pod about The Bachelor, people who are fans. I'll never understand. I don't understand it. It all seems too simple-minded and like un-nuanced to be like worth somehow being, you know, like wrapped up into a dating game show. Like, yeah. I don't understand it. Never have, never will. And I think they're just dangerous. I think they're scary and dangerous.
It is scary and dangerous, but you can use it. I don't know if you can still use it to your advantage, but like someone like Tiffany New York Pollard, like going on a dating show and essentially going on not for actually finding love, but to become famous, to put yourself out there in the most ridiculous way to get a name for yourself. And that I fully support. That I think
I do too,
awesome.
But for for every Tiffany New York Pollard, there's like,
who is this thousands. Person?
Tiffany New York Pollard. She's
good Lord.
I don't even know how to describe who she is.
She's a reality star. She's a bona fide reality star who was early on days. Power of. Oh my God.
Wait, what was the name?
Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love.
Oh, wow.
And
right. Flavor Flav.
She was sort of the same sort of year of She's Not a Christian, where the internet meme culture sort of exploded. And
yes,
early. Her talking heads on Flavor of Love became iconic. To this day, she is. And there's even a great scene, just to have to give love to Tiffany Pollard here. There is this great moment on UK Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother.
Where
this is how big she is, that like 15 years later, she's still famous enough to go on like a reality show in like the UK. But she heard that one of the contestants came up, said, David's dead.
David Bowie's ex-wife, who was on Big Brother, came up to Tiffany and said, David's dead, because David Bowie had just died.
Yeah. And then Tiffany thinks it is the other fellow contestant on the show named David.
So
she's heartbroken. And it's the funniest, most genuine reaction. Yeah. I mean, she's incredible. Google her. She's amazing. Yeah.
You don't have to Google. Everyone knows Tiffany New York Pollard.
Except for Brent Sullivan.
Yeah. Literally 8 people in the world, you two included.
Not even joking.
Today we are joined by Benito Skinner, aka Benny Drama. Welcome, Benito.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
We had a whole moment beforehand where I was like, I don't know what to call you, Benny or Benito.
You're freaking out.
And it was,
I
do have a freak out about names. It's a big deal for me. So I'm so glad we cleared that up. Benito.
No, I'm honored. People do feel like really stressed about my name sometimes because, most people just call me Ben.
Really?
I'm complicated.
When you shot the video with Khloe Kardashian and you were signing the NDA, because let's be real, you signed an NDA.
Oh, I signed that fat Kardashian NDA. Yeah. In the garage right before
In
I
the
went.
Garage?
Yeah. Tested negative for COVID. They're like, sign this book.
Wow.
Yeah.
What name did you put down and what did she call you?
It was Benito. Yeah. Okay. And then they passed it to my boyfriend immediately. And he's like, what am I going to say? It's like, he's like, I don't have shit to say. And I'm like, sign it right now. Yeah. So Benito. Yeah.
So funny. Well, you are.
I feel like they're.
Go ahead.
I feel like there can't be many Benitos in Idaho where you grew up.
I don't think so. But my great grandma is from, my grandma and then her family is from the Basque Country in Spain.
Oh,
and for some, there are various reasons, but there's a massive Basque community in Boise, Idaho.
So oh my God. Like,
I know a woman who was Basque as well. And there's like a big community. I think
explain the Basque community, because I feel like a lot of people listening have a lot of knowledge about that.
Yeah.
And then also,
I wanted to get on here and talk about history. I mean, let's just do this. Come on.
Why Idaho?
My family lineage. Okay, so I should know this, and this happens frequently where I'm like, okay, yes. So it's like sheep herders in the Basque Country.
Yeah.
They were coming to America, and what better place to do that than in Idaho? Mm. So there was like a mass migration to Idaho during the various wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's like there's this place called the Basque Block in Boise. There's this thing called Hialdi every 4 years, which is like a full festival. So like Boise has this massive Basque community.
And
I'm honored to be a part of it. Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if you know this, and I'm sure you don't, because we literally just met. I am obsessed with Boise, and I've never been, but I've heard things. No, Alan's like, you've never been to Boise?
No. Brent goes on vacations with his brother to the most non-vacation spots in the world, and I feel like Boise would be top of the list.
You're absolutely right, Alan. We have a long list. We have a voting process, and Boise is always like number 3 every year.
Yeah, but that's why I'm surprised.
What's it like? That's the city you're from, right?
I'm obsessed. I love the thought that you're like, we have been dying to go there as if it's like Tokyo. Right? I'm like, it's really cheap. You should go. It's like $100 ticket. What is it like? Well, okay. So it is the Pacific Northwest. And I feel like everyone thinks it's Midwest. So they think it's flat, but like it's very, there are mountains, it's good skiing. I will say, I don't love the outdoors. which yeah.
me neither. So
it's definitely more tailored for someone who wants to like raft.
People that hike and shit. Hike.
Oh, yeah. Raft. Oh, yeah, like Meryl Streep in The River Wild. But no
exactly.
man.
Exactly. One of my favorites. Man. Her best work.
Totally. Her best work.
Same.
But but it's so funny. Like Boise downtown. I mean, it is a very Republican place, right. very conservative. But like, there's like a few streets in downtown Boise that now I go home and visit my parents and I see stickers that say keep Boise weird. And I'm like,
wow,
what the fuck would be weird about this place?
Rebellion is rising in Boise.
Literally, I'm just like, you're right, it's freaking crazy here. Like, we're so insane. But yeah, it is really lovely. But if you don't do outdoor stuff, I can't imagine that it's...
Are there gay bars in Boise? Is there like a gay scene?
There's one.
Balcony. Let's go. Let's go to Balcony.
What is it called? Balcony?
It's called The Balcony. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What's it like? How big is it? And have you ever hooked up with anyone there?
I have. I've been once, sadly, because I didn't come out until I was a senior in college. And now when I go home, it's just kind of like me and my parents. So I'm not like, mom, get in the car.
right.
We're going drugs, girl. Let's fucking go off. It's like, there's this building that has a lot of restaurants in it downtown. And like, it's on an upper level.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. It's like we can let the gay bar be like street level. It's like one up.
yeah.
But pretty standard, I think. Yeah. I know they do maybe brunches there now.
Okay.
But every time I'm home without fail, like if I've revealed that I'm in Idaho, I always get like a DM from a straight girl that's like, let me buy you a drink downtown at the balcony. Like, come on, you got to come out. So yeah, come. We'll all go. I would go with like a full little squad. Yeah.
I went to a conference once in Boise, Idaho years ago. Like,
conference for what?
Yeah. It was like, I was
a politics?
No. I was like in high school. I was a part of some sort of like literally it was like a HIV AIDS thing. And they had it in Boise. They had a conference for like HIV AIDS activist stuff in Boise. And we went and we were like, why are we here? Like, it was the strangest moment.
Okay. But keep Boise weird, honestly.
Keep Boise weird.
Part of it. You know? Yes. Weird. Yeah. There was pride. I mean, there is pride there. And I remember being downtown for like one of it. Apparently I'm downtown a lot. There's like four big buildings and I'm like, this is the metropolis. But I was like walking around and there were all these people coming from pride and it was so disorienting. I felt like I was just fully making it up in my head.
Yeah, like a mirage.
I was like, you didn't have to do this for me. Like, I'm home for two right. days. You know, like, this is a lot.
So nice. Well, your videos are so funny. And what blew me away you do a lot of the Kardashian impressions and a lot of original characters. And just, you really are just sort of like your own little, like everything SNL on your Instagram, TikTok.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Et cetera. It's kind of like, it's really interesting to watch. But what surprised me was like, you studied like film at Georgetown and were like a video editor, right? Before going this sort of comedy direction.
Yeah.
What was that transition like?
Well, it was weird because I think it was just me being in the closet. And so I had this idea, like I knew I loved film. I knew that I also like had like this deep interest in acting and these things. And I would like tell people I wanted to be an actor, but was never on camera or doing like any classes, which like apparently is like, you don't have to. No. So it's kind of like, cool. Right. Like I did what I had needed to do.
It's not forced.
You can just kind of like show up and like act. But I remember like my senior year, I started, there was this app called Dub Smash where you could do like lip sync videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did like a few.
That's the TikTok now, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. I think
TikTok
was Musical.ly.
Oh,
and
Musical.ly.
Dub Smash was separate, but I think Dub Smash, you know, it basically preceded TikTok in terms of like lip syncs. But Dub Smash, I remember loving. I love watching people who can like lip sync perfectly.
It was so fun. I loved it. And I did all these Kardashian ones then. And then I saw that people were tagging their friends. And so I was like, okay, yeah, but I don't know how this would ever translate into anything else because there wasn't really like people who came up on the internet then, you know, that I had seen that weren't like prank videos and they were all like straight people. You know, yeah, they're like, my girlfriend's home and I'm gonna scare the shit out of her. Like that was the joke. You know, and I'm like, love that.
If your character Vinny Drama and the things that you do, like your Kardashian impressions, were actually like prank videos, like that would be
No, I want to pivot. I really want to pivot. I'm done. I'm having a horrible time. If I did that to anyone around me, I think they would just kill me.
Yeah,
like, that's just hell. Like I think gay people were also scared just anyways, so I think like it would result in horrible things. But I kept posting and then I moved to New York after college and I was like making sketches and finally like having my voice in videos. Mm-hmm. Cause for a while, I think I grew up in the time of like early YouTube where if you were gay, just all the comments were like, you're a faggot. Mm-hmm. So I thought would have my voice in a video, everyone would say that, but you know, they do show your videos usually to the people that should see them. So like the comments were really nice. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'll just like maybe, you know, be a character in this. Mm-hmm. And they grew as I was working at a startup editing like really corny, almost like fake TED Talky videos.
Yes.
Ooh, that gives me the chills. Oh, like what was like were they like faux intellectual? What were they like?
I mean, it's like straight porn because it's just like a businessman that's like, you know, if you think about it and you go to school and you take, you know, and you like say this, you're gonna own a stake in the Jets one day. You know, so it's like, it's just like, what? It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And I would just edit it and be like adding subtitles. And then one day my boyfriend was like, your Instagram should be public. Like, if you want to be an actor, I think this is probably like how you would do it. Cause like you have like no other way in.
And I think that's the bravest thing a homosexual can do. Have a private Instagram because it goes against everything that is modern homosexuality.
Yeah. I was brave then, not anymore.
Yeah. Imagine not having one at all.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Stop. That's just
stop it.
Good Lord.
Done. Wait, let
me ask you, what kind of, so you were from Idaho, obviously you talked a little bit about being closeted. Were you like closeted, like virulently anti-gay? Closeted, or you just weren't quite ready?
Going to anti-gay rallies. Yeah. Yeah. I was I was all right. I played football and I really thought I had like fooled everyone for sure. Like I thought I was like given it.
What was your position?
Wide receiver.
Ooh.
Okay. I still don't know where that is.
It's the one that's like way out there. It's definitely like a glamour position.
Uh-huh.
It's the photo one.
Yeah, it's the photo one. And I love the pants. But you're like kind of away from everyone. And then sometimes they pass to you. And that's where things get complicated. Because I would have to catch it. And I remember just like still to this day, if someone wants to like throw me keys, I'm just traumatized.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, look at it. Like just, it does not come naturally.
Yeah.
So that was my position.
Also, because like once you catch it, they're allowed to tackle you.
They can, which is like absurd. You up.
It's such a surreal.
Like, you have to be a fast runner, then, right? Like, is that what it? So a point.
Yeah. So luckily, I was fast.
Was a wide receiver, I think. Right.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. So and then sometimes they would like have me run. Like you do these things called like routes. I think that's still what it's called. Where you're like. Mm. Run, you know, you do like a certain like movement to, you know,
be them off.
Yes, so the quarterback can see you. Yeah, and to get rid of this guy that's like following you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it would be right into like guys that were gonna fuck me up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't love that.
Yeah, I don't want to.
So
do
I would
that.
Like kind of not quite run the route. I'd be like, the quarterback's off today. He cannot find me. I don't know what's going on. Like I'm doing my best. So
it's such a strange sport. Whenever I watch it, there's just a part of me that's like, what if like at this particular moment, this guy doesn't want to get rammed to the ground? Like, what would it be like to play a sport where
that's the thing
you're just like not in the mood to get shoved around all day? It seems like such a nightmare.
Guys love that though.
Yeah. I mean, you still watch football? Do you like football still?
No, I really I think I gave so much to like really trying to do this sport thing that now if they're on, or even I find that if I'm around like even like a girlfriend who's with a guy and she kind of like, you know, starts to like love a team, I'm like, we're not going to be close for a while. Yeah, I just think it's disgusting, but
I don't find it disgusting. I just like the vehement or the sycophantic way that people, mm-hmm. take on like the identity of a sports
it's
team.
It's the same thing with Drag Race, though.
No, I know. I was going to say it's no. It's really at a certain point, it's not very different from Drag Race. It's not different from a lot of things. And I, but something about it with like the colors of a sports team like bums me out. Or if it's like on blankets, like it's something about it like bums me out. I don't know. I don't exactly know what it is.
I feel like like a Rams blanket. It's like off.
Yeah, but also I don't know why. Cool.
I mean, it becomes sort of like, it's like astrology. It's like Drag Race. Like it becomes a personality for boring people. And it's like, to me, when I see like people who like, especially, you know, gay guys who are like obsessed with drag to the point of like, they love like talking about like the sort of like Drag Race, like the
bully queens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, this is just your personality because you have nothing else to offer your personality.
You're so bored.
Football too.
Like, Well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know.
I mean, I stand by it firmly.
But Alan, well, you love drag. Like
I know, but because I actually do drag. I'm just saying,
that's
if it becomes the only thing that like is your personality, it's all you talk about, and it's like your entire identity, and you don't actually do drag. You need to maybe read a book and like find another interest.
Those have to be the people that tell queens to like kill themselves, right?
Yes.
Like,
right.
The Drag Race fan base is insane. They're nuts. Like, I assume those are, it's like the people who, like their mood is based on if their team wins.
Totally. That's 1,000%.
You have a mental illness.
Kill me.
The same with football.
I was on Drag Race season 3. So sort of before it kind of blew up.
Great season. One of my favorites.
It was such a good season. I was Orinoco Ho, obviously, the end of drag persona. Anyway, Alan.
I actually wanted to ask from the football field to the White House. You did work last year with the with the Biden campaign.
Yes.
Can you talk about that? Are you allowed to talk about that?
I think I'm allowed to talk about it a little bit. It's so funny because it like...
You're allowed to?
Yeah, do you get like a secret clearance?
Biden has a tighter NDA.
Literally, I do remember though that like Secret Service on the way in, they were so hot. I feel the need to say that. I'm allowed to say that. Because my boyfriend and I were like going through the gates and we're kind of like, okay, I mean like king. I was like, okay, that was amazing. No, it was, it really wasn't as like much of a thing as it maybe would have, you know, like I was asked to do it and it was supposed to be like, you know, for my audience and for like people on who are like a part of Gen Z and millennials who, you know, maybe were like not exactly feeling the vax, to like warm up to it, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
And it was like, and they wanted, and I really wanted it to be that character because I thought it would be like funny for it to be like a satirical bit, but obviously it's the White House. So like, you know, you're not getting like your best jokes approved, I would say.
Right.
So it's like a little tricky, but it was pretty much like, I was asked to do it on a Sunday and I filmed it like that Thursday. And I obviously, I try to say on the record as many times as possible, like I paid for everything. Like I paid for my sweet green that day. Tax dollars were like, I like literally paid to get bullied by Republicans for 6 months.
Whoa.
So, which was fun.
Crazy.
But
you got to meet Jen Psaki.
I'm proud of the videos. It was, it was a moment.
I do have to ask you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
What do you think of Jen Psaki?
It was like five minutes with her, you know, and that's also like so many of these like really angry conservative people were like, of course she's doing that all day. I was like, she literally saw me for less than 3 minutes. Like she was lovely, but like she had shit to do. Absolutely. She was not like taking the day off.
Well, now you can go on MSNBC with her because she's leaving apparently for MSNBC.
I know. Yeah. Which I'm like, her job seems like the worst job in the world. Yeah.
The press secretaries always have like these just hyper furrowed brows. They're so, it's so tense. They're so mad. It's like, it seems like the worst job.
Tight.
Yeah.
I walked in and I was kind of, you know, I felt like the character because I had like my long nails on and like a kilt. And so it's kind of like, hey, you know, and that's also what I keep finding. I'm like, some people, you know, who still get mad about the video, I'm like, they really do think that like I am Cooper and that I am like
nuts,
like,
man.
Him in that video. I'm like, it's a bit.
It's a bit.
People are stupid. Well, I do need to, the last question that I have for you is you are so associated with Kardashians. And like, I was thinking like, and your videos and your impressions of the Kardashians and Kardashian trailers and everything, they're huge. And I can't think of another sort of like comedian who did an impression of somebody off of SNL that then gets to go to that person and do the impression basically in front of the person they're impersonating. Like,
thank you.
That doesn't happen on social media. That doesn't happen in YouTube. It only happens on SNL. And like, you clearly have done that with the Kardashians. Like,
yeah.
What is that like for you? That must feel, you must feel really accomplished in a way to be able to get
to that level. Yeah. More just like, I don't know. I think I just like dissociate during it because I'm just like, this is really so strange that I'm like, that Courtney's there and a part of my body, like, I don't know. I think it's just my anxiety. I like want to mimic. You know? Yeah. So it's like, she says hi. And I'm like, hey girl. Like, I just immediately am like, I am sick. But no, I think I was really excited by it. Cause I'm like, I think there is always a fear, you know, like you grow up and obviously all of us, I'm sure, were told various things that like deeply hurt. So I'm like never trying to be a bully or make someone feel like shit. And I hope that they can laugh and like that we're all in on the joke. So it's more just like a nice, like deep breath that someone like enjoys it, that it's not being like taken out of context or that someone thinks I'm like malicious. But yeah, it's like, it's pretty like surreal. It does make me feel like the, you know, like I have to be really thoughtful of every bit I do, which is a good thing. But sometimes it's tricky because you're like, oh, I, you know, if I want to do this new person, I hope they too would like feel this way. But I find that like different industries are, you know, they have different reactions. It's like musicians and their fan bases are way more sensitive and hyper. Like if you say anything, like
did until Shawn Mendes said, or whatever.
Oh, they're coming. So like until Shawn Mendes said that he liked the videos, like his fans for every video were just like, oh, you went to school for comedy? Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, okay, that really hurt. that's actually really fucking mean. But they would be like, where are the jokes, Tool? And I'm like, fuck. Oh, you kids are evil.
Yeah.
But it was fun, but like strange, I guess.
That's wild. Well,
that's modern celebrity in the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Alan. Where can people follow you on the interwebs as if it's like a hard thing to find you? You're very,
easily
found.
I tell everyone, don't follow me on Twitter. It's just like, so I'm so off on there. Like it just doesn't work. Cause if I think of something, I'm like, oh, that should be a video. And then if I say it, I think some people just think I'm earnest on there. So I can't really say, like, I just tweeted John Travolta as a baddie and it got like 3 likes. And then some people were like, totally. And I was like, fuck, okay. I have to delete that. Like, you're not getting it. I'm like, you're not seeing my vision for this platform. So Benny Drama 7. Oh, and I got hacked recently. So like, don't go on
there. Where? On Twitter? On Instagram?
Yes. This hacker was like selling PS5s and people bought them and I feel so bad, but God. I'm like, there's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. I don't have PS5s for you. I'm like, if I had them, and I literally tried to reach out to PlayStation to like get actual PS5s to like give to these people. And they're just like, yeah, we don't do that. And we don't have them. Like they're apparently so coveted. But on Instagram, I'm BennyDrama7 and on TikTok and most other things as well. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for doing this.
Of course, yeah. Wait, I never want to leave. This was so nice.
And another thing.
So you are a Crayola crayon. I need to know what your color would be.
I need to know, Elliot, you have to start because yours is one that I couldn't even find what the color is.
Oh, no, it doesn't exist. I thought you would make them up.
I used an actual color from the box.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I should have explained. I thought you should make up a
because they have, funny I was gonna have say, certain names. They have certain names to them.
They have famous names. Do you remember when we were kids, they still had one called Indian Red? Oh, Crayola, you sons of bitches. How dare you? Elliot, what's yours?
Mine is Floridian FOMO. Okay. So it's like sea foam, like a sea green color that's like Floridian, but also FOMO is just, you know, a millennial term. So Floridian FOMO. Yeah. It's just Floridian, like it's a, you know, it's a Blanche Devereaux bedroom vibe.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't totally understand the request. So mine was just going to be one of their blues because I like the color blue. And I also like how blue is now associated with blue states. And so I imagine taking a blue crayon and coloring in all the swing states.
Fascinating history about that. I forget where I watched it, but there was a really interesting video or something that explained the use of the red and the blue maps on modern television, sort of like campaign night, like election night coverage, and how it all started and how we got to.
You know what? In the 90s, it was different. If you ever watch, if you watch like election night coverage, which I have of Clinton, like in 92, 96, it was Democrat states were red and Republican states were blue, and then it swapped in like 2000.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. And
so you're just, so your color is blue.
Yeah. So blue. I mean, I didn't understand.
I know.
Let's say, who's a Michigan, who's a Michigan senator you love?
Carl Levin blue. Carl Levin blue. I like that. Claire McCaskill blue.
Claire McCaskill would be Claire McCaskill purple.
Thanks. Oh, you son of a bitch.
She's definitely more in the purple camp.
She is in the purple camp. She is in the purple camp.
So
right.
My color, I also did not understand the assignment. So I went for the actual Crayola colors, and I put that I feel like my soul is a sun glow yellow. That's what I want to give to the world. However, I know that deep down I am outer space, like gray black. Like that is who I am.
Yeah.
Who I am. But that said, if I could make up one, now that I know the assignment, if I could make up one, it would probably be unfortunately golden. It would be like a sort of a golden girls, but like annoying.
Like a golden shower. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. It's like that piss yellow. Like it's unfortunately golden. And
yeah.
So the title is unfortunately golden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
You didn't want it, but you're getting it.
Right now.
I'm trying to think of a funny way to say, I'm trying to combine Carl Levin and Cerulean. Cerulean.
Alan, have you ever participated in a golden shower? That seems like the kind of thing you would do.
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
Not a lot, I will say. But I have in my day, yes.
Wow. Yes. Good for
you. On both sides.
You're experimental too. You're very experimental. You're very open.
I'm very, you know, let it go, kids. Let it go.
Elliot's mad. Elliot's mad that I got a little blue at the end of this discussion. Man, I'm telling you, he gets so mad. He just left his seat. He's punching the wall right now. He's so mad.
Yeah. I have him on mute for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would your aunt say?
Brent, what would your aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
My I can't. My crayon would be blood red for how I vote, Brent.
My aunt Joanne would say, I thought Basque was a type of soup. How about Aunt Anne?
I did a game show once, but it never aired because I talked about anal.
we should one of these days we should record the amount of time that it takes me to come up with what I deem an unsatisfactory what would your aunt say, just so listeners can know how tortured I am about it. Have and a how mad it hurts me.
Like a little bit, because you really put a lot of thought into your what would your aunt say. They're always
so dumb, and I'm so mad about it.
And delightful.
Oh, you're very kind.
I'm more off the cuff. Elliot is also more off the cuff with it.
I love both of your aunts. I love them very much as a friend. But that said, everyone, thank you so much for listening. I am Elliot Glazer, Elliot Wexler Glazer.
And that's it.
She can't say my name.
No, that leaves me as just me. That's so annoying.
That is Tyne Daly.
Oh, thank you. 2-time Emmy winner.